Father, thank you for knowledge of the times and seasons that we live in. But we realize and understand that time as we know it will be no more. For there is a change that has taken place in the realm of the Spirit that will influence and bring change in the physical world that you live in. Yes, even the nation that you stand in. And yes, even in the nations of the world, there shall be changes. Some will reap a harvest that they don't want to reap. Others will reap a harvest of my blessing, which they desire to reap. For the nation that turns its back upon God and forgets me shall be judged. And it's time for judgment to come upon the nations. Nations in the world, some nations, have already received judgment. But there is a judgment that is yet to come that is right upon even your nation. And yes, many would scoff and mock and make fun of me doing what I said I would do. But when I prophesied to the Jewish people, and I'm speaking in behalf of the Lord, you understand. When I prophesied to the Jewish people as I went away and died upon the cross, I told them that there would not be one stone left upon another here, but it would be thrown down, and that judgment would come upon that nation because they had rejected. Of course, I am merciful. Of course, I am gracious. And of course, I am long-suffering. But even in the time and era of the years of the church age, you saw what happened even unto Israel and how many of the Jewish people were taken into captivity against my will. It was not my will that they go into captivity. It was not my will that those things occur. In the nation, the Jewish people be held captive and put in prisons and murdered and slain. But when you reject me, says the Lord, you open the door to the enemy. When any nation rejects me, they open the door to the enemy. And so judgment is even at the door in this hour. Not only for this nation, but for other nations. Because they have rejected me and rejected me and rejected me. And no, it is not my desire that evil take place in anyone's life. But again, when you reject the mercy of God, when you reject the grace of God, then you invite the enemy to come in. And you would say, is it all doom and gloom? Is there no hope? Is there no way of escape? Oh yes, says the Lord. It's not just a day of doom and gloom. It's a day of my glory. It's a day of my power. For in this time that judgment takes place, my glory would be poured out in a way that you've never heard the story. You've heard of things in times past and read even in my word, but these things that you're about to see and enter into, you've never heard. For it is a time and a season of my glory and power to be poured out in this hour. So along with judgment will come the glory. And then we will tell a brand new story. And then the end shall come, even as my word has declared, and we shall all be gathered together unto him. For it is time and a season that these things take place in this day and in this hour. Now, Lord, we thank you for it. We worship you for it. And we thank you, Lord, that there is a way out. Lord, we know that there is a way out. There's a way of mercy and grace and repentance. But, Lord, we know that these things are coming. We're looking at them coming upon us, Lord. And we see these things. Lord, you've been talking to me about it for several months now. And I've been silent because it's not time to speak. But you told me this morning to speak and declare. So, Lord, we're doing it, and we're declaring what you're saying. Because before you do anything in this earth, you show it to your servants, and then you have them declare. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, that your mercy and grace will be extended unto many. Many that are wayward, Lord, many that are going in the wrong direction. Father, I ask that you extend your mercy another time. Lord, allow this judgment to be stayed from individual lives. Allow this judgment to be stayed from ministries. Allow this judgment to be stayed from churches. Lord, allow this judgment to be stayed from the nation and nations. Lord, allow it, Father, even as Abraham pled for the cities, but he pled that they would not be destroyed. Lord, I plead with you this night in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, to give us another chance, to give us another opportunity. And I know that, Lord, I understand that, Lord. Yes, Lord, you've given us opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. Lord, and it seems that we reject it, even as your word says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me." And so, Lord, we thank you for your mercy and for your grace to take place in this day. And Father, even though that these things are all around us, it shall not come near us, because we have divine protection of the Holy Ghost, the power of God, and the angels of God. And Father, we thank you for that angelic assistance, for there will be in this day angelic visitations that will lead and guide you in supernatural ways. Divine protection that you have not known heretofore. Not in this time, not in this season, not in this era. You've read about it, you've heard stories about it, but you will understand it, you will see it, and some will even experience it that are right here among us tonight. But you will see angelic intervention as the angels of God ascend and descend upon the sons of men to bring to pass the will and the plan of God in this era, in this time, and in this season. Now, Heavenly Father, so be it in the name of Jesus. Lord, let it come. Let it take place. Lord, we yield to you. Lord, we yield to your plan. We yield to your purposes. Lord, just as Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, "Lord, if thou be willing, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." And Lord, that's the place that I stand in tonight. Lord, if thou be willing, let this cup pass from us. But I say, as Jesus said, not my will, but thy will be done. Because you see the overall picture. You see it from a broader perspective. And Father, I thank you that your will and your plan shall take place. And Father, tonight, I thank you that you make my tongue as a pen of a ready writer. Thank you for revelation knowledge that you speak to us, that you lead us, you guide us, and direct us. And Father, thank you for revelation of your word. Thank you for illustration of your word. And thank you for impartations of the Holy Ghost and empower and enable us to walk out what we have heard. And Father, we give you the glory and honor for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. It may seem sobering, and it is kind of sobering, but God means what he says. You understand? And I've never had God speak to me exactly like that and talk about judgment like that. He's talked about judgment, but not like this. So we're going to talk about tonight by direction of the Holy Ghost. And of course, it's good to see all my preacher friends here. I think Reverend Joel Siegel has followed me around. I just saw him in Tulsa, and then here he is in the thriving metropolis of Jamestown, New York. And then my friends from Canada here, they knocked it neutral and let it roll. I don't know if they come over the falls in a barrel or how they got down here, but they're here. And of course, it's good to see all the family church ministers and the ministry of helps and just such excellence that we see and witness every time that we come into this region and era. For in this day there will be a required of my people a discipline that many do not know. A discipline and a reverence and an honor of me in my spirit and my presence that many say we will never go. Because they think that things of the Spirit and of the Holy Ghost are things to play about, play around with. And they don't understand that I am requiring people in this day to be disciplined, to be respectful, and to honor me and honor my spirit and honor my presence. And those of you that have honored His Spirit and honored His presence and honored His anointing, you will see an increase of His glory. You'll see an increase of His power. You'll see an increase of His anointing that will come upon you afresh from this very hour. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. We live in the end times. Isn't that right? We live in times where things are coming to an end. Time as we know it, the Holy Ghost said, shall be no more. I'm telling you, He's been speaking to me about this particular thought that I'm about to share with you for several months, but I just didn't have a witness to share anywhere, you know. And so when I got into this region and area, the Lord began to say, it's time now to speak and to say. You know, as you grow in the Lord, as you well know, you find out that you don't say immediately everything the Lord tells you because it may not be time for it. So turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 2, and we're going to start right there. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. And I believe my son Randall is watching us now live stream. Say hello to him. He's in, where's he at? Charleston, South Carolina. You know, he's a pilot. He's flying people around. I think we ought to buy us a doggone jet, all of us. Get together and just buy us one, and we got a pilot. Don't give me no ideas. But he had to work today, so he's been in several cities. With a jet, you can do that. But thank God for the Holy Ghost. Isn't that right? Where'd you tell me to turn to? Acts chapter 2. And the Lord will give us utterance tonight. Now, this message tonight will be a sobering message, but you're sober people. And this is the kind of message you just don't declare and preach everywhere, you know, because some people wouldn't receive it. But it's just like this group of folks here and these group of ministers here, they don't have no better sense than just to believe what God says, you know what I mean? They're out of their mind, you know, even Pastor Craig and Pastor Jenny, you know. We drug them out from up the country over yonder down here, and so they're ready. He didn't know why the Holy Ghost told him to come, but he knew he was supposed to be here. So here he is. But I think in the morning, early, sometime he's going to Africa. Unless he gets translated. So now you see him, now you don't. In Acts chapter 2, just to set a scriptural foundation for some things we're about to share. When they were filled with the Holy Ghost, there were supernatural occurrences that began to take place. Isn't that right? And that's what we want to read about. And we'll start reading in Acts chapter 2. They were filled with the Holy Ghost, were speaking in other tongues, and had a drunken appearance as the Spirit of God came on. In fact, they thought that they had been drinking alcohol, you know, and there was something wrong with these people. But Peter got a revelation from God. Now, my personal opinion about this, just my opinion, I believe it's the Holy Ghost, but you judge it. I believe Peter got this revelation right here when this happened. I don't believe it was forethought out. I don't believe he pre-thought it out. But I believe the Holy Ghost revealed to him what was happening about the prophet Joel had prophesied about what had happened hundreds of years earlier, and then Peter got the revelation of it. This is what Joel was talking about. Reverend Joel Siegel. You know, he was talking about it. And it's here in the Bible. In Acts chapter 2, verse number 14. Because everybody was wondering. Look at verse number 12. It says, they were all amazed. The people were amazed and were in doubt. That's what it's talking about, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others said, the people around that was witnessing these people being filled with the Holy Ghost, mocking, said, these people are full of new wine. You know what I mean? There's people that are just drunk, you know. But Peter, say, but Peter. Peter had a revelation. He got an instantaneous, I believe, revelation from God at the moment that gave him chapter and verse for the experience. Anything that God is doing, there should be chapter and verse for it. There should be a good spiritual, scriptural precedence for it. Isn't that right? So the Holy Ghost gave him the scriptural precedence for what was taking place right there. And so he wasn't guesstimating what was happening. He was given chapter and verse what was happening. But Peter, verse 14, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, you men of Judea and all you that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken or listen to my words. For these are not drunken as you suppose. In other words, you think something natural is going on here, seeing it's but the third hour of the day. This is not something natural, Peter's trying to tell them. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet who? Joel. I believe he got that revelation right here at the moment. Said, Brother Randy, how do you know? Well, just come on and go to heaven with me. You'll find out when you get there. Amen. I believe it was a word of knowledge that he received about that moment, because anytime the Holy Ghost speaks to me, he'll give me chapter and verse along that line. Because if the Holy Ghost is talking to you, you're going to find it in the Bible somewhere, are the principles in the Bible. Thank God for that. He said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel years and years earlier. He did prophesy about this day that would come. Verse 17. And it shall come to pass, he prophesied, Joel did, in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. That's why I always see visions. Because you stay young if you do. That's what the Bible says. When you start dreaming dreams, you're old. I mean, it's in the Bible. It is. That's how to age yourself. And some people are more given to dreams than other people. But I just stay in vision. So, well, what if you have a dream? I call it a night vision. I've got chapter and verse. The Bible talks about night visions. So if you stay in visions, you're going to be all right, you know. Because why? Young men will see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Why do old men dream dreams? You've been at Pawpaw's house, right? And all the kids are running around, grandkids are running around, all the kids are running around playing everything, and Pawpaw's in the chair asleep. God has to speak to him in a dream because he can't keep him awake long enough. I'm joking. But you got to laugh along with all this soberness that you're about to get. Your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaidens, he said, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. So notice here, we will have visions and we will have dreams. So it's scriptural for God to speak to people in visions. It's scriptural for God to speak to people in dreams. And we thank God for that. It's scriptural for people to prophesy by the Holy Ghost, by the unction of God. And not just, we don't just accept any and everything that people say. It has to be backed up by the Word of God. Isn't that right? We want to do that first and foremost. But for several months now, I went through an experience in my life, and God dealt with me, and I'm not going through the whole story, but I went through an attack on my physical body. In fact, at one time, I thought I was out of here. I shared the whole story down in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, and some of these folks around here probably have the message, and if you want to hear it, you'll have to talk to them. They'll probably sell it to you for $1,000 or something. I don't know. Make a little profit, you know. But I told the whole story at the first service in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. I mean, I gave chapter and verse. I showed that where Paul, even himself, despaired of life, and he actually thought that he would die, the Apostle Paul. I was in that same circumstances, and I lived the same scriptures, not in the same way, but the same scriptures the Apostle Paul lived in his life. The Bible says in the New Living Translation that he expected to die. The book of Corinthians, he expected. Now, I know us faith folks don't believe in that, but there's another side to faith. In his expectation to die, that's when he really learned how much the Lord was with him and on his side, because when he could not go any further through all the persecution and the opposition he was going through, then Jesus Christ himself raised him up from that place of death and gave him newness of life. And that's what I discovered in my life. When I could not go one more step, when I could not make one more confession, it looked like the devil was winning. In fact, if there was a ticket to buy to the bus to go to heaven, I'd have bought a bus ticket that night and went. But Jesus showed up supernaturally and raised me up, and I'm here in Jamestown, New York tonight, supernaturally. I'm healthy, I'm whole, I've got my strength back because my strength was down for a while. But I got my strength out. Now, my belt's down to the last notch. Now, I may not look like it, but my belt's down to the last notch, and they want me to knock another hole in it. You know what I mean? And everything. But the Lord has been with me. But the Lord started dealing with me about these things on back there, you know, as early as December, November of last year, December. That's the way he'll do with me sometimes, but he don't tell me to release anything. But one thing we can also know, if you go to the book of Daniel, which we're not going to turn there now, but if you go to the book of Daniel, Daniel read something that Jeremiah the prophet prophesied about 70 years of captivity. Remember that for the Jewish people? And he read that and he wondered, well, this is the end of our captivity. Why hasn't it taken place? Through Daniel reading the prophet Joel's prophecy that had happened years earlier, and he prophesied about how they would be in captivity for, 70 years? Then he wondered why it hadn't happened. Isn't that right? So he set himself to pray and seek God about it. And then, of course, God gave him the vision. Remember, he had the vision of the statue, and he showed him not only what he wanted to know, but he showed him what was going to come in the future. I won't say that. I started to say something, but I can't. My mouth shut. It shut. But I was going to tell you something about Revelations, but I can't. Not now. We're not ready for it. But anyway, I'm not ready for it. You're ready. I'm not ready. Okay. I started to mouth the words and it just, my tongue, I couldn't move it. So, but there are some things that Daniel understood. And when you understand what Daniel saw, you can greatly understand the book of Revelations. I can say that. Because I think we put Revelations all in the future. I can say this. And some of it's already taken place. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Thank you for your enthusiasm. But anyway, the book of Revelation, there's things there that's going to happen in the future too. But notice here, he talked about how that there'd be dreams and visions and so on and so forth, and how God's moving in a supernatural way. And in this day, God is speaking to people. And Daniel, remember, read the prophet Jeremiah's prophecy about how there'd be 70 years of captivity for the Jewish people. And he realized it's supposed to be coming to an end now, because he's counting 1, 2, 3. He's marking off the calendar, you know. And well, did they have calendars? Well, they had... Yeah, that's what they had. And but anyway, he figured it out. He'd done some ciphering. And so he set himself, because he read a prophecy that somebody else, a prophet, had written years earlier. So if Daniel could read a prophecy that was written years earlier and glean insight from it, do you think we could do the same thing today? Do you think we'd be scriptural today? Do you think that we'd have chapter and verse for it today? It's in the Bible. So what about, let's do that. The one that stood at the forefront of the prophet's ministry when he was on the earth, Dr. Kenneth E. Hagin, Reverend Kenneth E. Hagin, and we called him Dad Hagin. It was a term of endearment, not disrespect, but high great respect. And he not only was a prophet, but he stood at the... as an apostle. He was apostle, a sent one to his entire generation. And that doesn't mean that everybody on the earth received him or even knew about him. But he was sent to him to bring revelation. But he was also sent to a remnant, which we are part of, that's supposed to take revelation and not let it lie dormant. We are to understand things. I remember this over in Athens, Georgia, way back there in what, 2006, 2007. When I was kneeling down praying, remember, it's like somebody walked up behind me. I was kneeling at a chair sort of like this in a church praying on a Saturday, late afternoon, because I was going to preach in that same church the next day. It was like somebody walked up behind me and put a coat on me. And I thought, well, what in the world is this? You might have heard me tell the story. And I thought somebody had come in the building and you know, was in there, and I peeked around and wasn't nobody there. Went back to praying, and then the Lord told me some things. He said, I want you to go back and pick up the revelations that I spoke to who you call Dad Hagin. He said, because many have laid them to the side. Many have forgotten about them. Some have said and gone as far as to say, we despise what he said. He said, but I want you to take them and I want you to read them and study them, preach them and teach them as I tell you to across the country. And he said, bring the revelation back. He said, especially where I appeared to him in vision format. Especially. Now, I hadn't been 100% faithful at it, but I've been hitting it on it, getting after it, you know. So he said, go back and pick them up and not only read them and study them, but apply the revelation to your life in relation to the Bible, you understand. Because what he said and what he gave us came from the Bible. So in September the 2nd, many of you know the story. It's September the 2nd, 1950. It was on a Saturday evening. You remember that. And it was a slow, soaking, gentle rain in Rockwall, Texas. Y'all remember that. Remember, there were dirt roads and everything back then. It wasn't these paved roads with the holes in them that you have here, you know. This is designer roads. This is designer roads here, special roads. You have perforated. Yes, my pastor friend knows it. But they're perforated roads, but it's special roads that you have. You have to be a skilled driver, you know, going to keep from bringing your friend in, but you know, that happens where you got snow and the plows going and all that kind of stuff. But Dad Hagin, September the 2nd, 1950, was underneath a tent preaching. About 40, 45 people showed up that night. So he just taught a Bible lesson because most people were there were Christians. And then he gave people an opportunity to pray. Just come down around the front and we'll pray because it was raining under the tent. And so he just stayed up on his little makeshift platform, wooden platform. My dad used to travel with a tent, so I know exactly kind of similar to what he had. And he just knelt down there and began to pray. And after a while of praying, he heard these voices come up hither, you know, come up hither to the throne of God. And I'm just, you know, cutting it short because I need to get then share some other things. But anyway, he thought it was boys outside the tent playing. You know, he didn't realize it was a spiritual experience. And then he heard the voice again real strong, come up hither to the throne of God. So he looked up, wondering who's talking and saying this. And of course, the word of the Lord's coming to him, and that's why it's audible to him. When he looked up, you know, everybody disappeared. The top of the tent disappeared, and there stood Jesus. And they eventually went to heaven. Now, the vision, there was revelation and vision all came at one time. So it's kind of in pieces, you know. You have to read the whole story. If you don't read the whole story, get the book, I Believe in Visions. Go to chapter 2. It's called Come Up Hither. And it'll give several scenarios of where the Lord gave him revelation, part vision, part revelation. But everything, he received something from God. So he had a vision on September the 2nd in Revelation where this rider came up and rode up to him and handed him a scroll and told him to read it. And then when he was reading this scroll, then the scroll would tell him to look and he would actually see what he had just read off that scroll. And so he recorded most of what he saw during that time. Well, the Spirit of God has stirred me up 3 to 4 or 5 months ago about this and told me it was time to start sharing some of these things again. Because I brought them up, I've shared them before, but it seemed like it wasn't time. So I just dropped them, you know what I mean? Even though I sensed they were of God, I sensed that God may want me to share it, it just wasn't time yet. There's a timing for everything. So what I'm going to do with your permission, do I have your permission already? So I'm going to turn and I'm going to read to you out of the book, I Believe in Visions, just for a short passage, and then, of course, go on and share with you some other things. And tonight, I'm going to share with you a prophecy that came from 1963 that's been archived and hidden from the public on purpose. And it wasn't time to share it that Dad Hagin had, and you're going to be able to hear it tonight because it's the first time that I've had the unction to release it. Reverend Joel may know about it, but a lot of people don't, you know. But it's things about our nation and things he saw about our nation that would take place, even about communism. He could probably equate it to socialism because socialism turns into eventually communism. And things that are trying to take place today. And even though it took place in 1963, you know, another thing we have with visions and revelations is people have a tendency to put them in the wrong era or time frame. We think when we see things in the spirit, they're going to happen today. But that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to happen today or even next week or next month. Remember, I saw myself while I was in prison, I saw myself doing things 3 and 4 years later. And they came to pass. But they didn't happen right away. And some things we see in the spirit is not going to happen right away. And so what I want to pick up reading in the book, I Believe in Visions, and I've just got it in my iPad. That's why I'm reading it off here. It's easier. It's the portion of the vision he had September the 2nd, 1950, and Revelation. And the caption of this that I'm about to read is called The Angelic Messenger. Do you remember that? Because he spoke specifically about our nation. And I believe if it applies to our nation, it could very well apply to the Canadian nation. Because he spoke about the United States of America, but he also spoke about America. There's a North America and South America, so you're not going to escape. He's saying, yeah, I got it made. The angelic messenger, ready for this? He says, about that time, this is Dad Hagin. He was kneeling on the platform now. And he could hear all the people praying around him. He had just had one glorious experience with the Lord. And now he's conscious that he's there on the platform and he's praying. And he could hear the other people praying. So he's conscious of his natural surroundings. And about that time, he says, this angelic messenger, the Holy Spirit, he said, came upon me again. Because he had already had experiences. It seemed as if a wind were blowing on me. And he said, I fell flat on my face on the platform. Do you know what it means to fall flat on your face? Flat on your face means flat on your face, on your belly, on your stomach, on your chest, and on your face. He fell flat on his face. The power of God knocked him down. Thank you for your enthusiasm. I fell flat, flat. You know what flat is? Flat. We call it down south, flat as a flitter. What's a flitter? I don't know. You have to ask Granny. Anyway. He said, as I lay under the power of God, so the power of God flattened him out. It seemed as if I were standing high on a plane somewhere in space. And I could see for miles and miles around me, just as one can stand on the great plains of the United States and gaze off into the distance for miles. He said, I looked in every direction, but I couldn't see a sign of life anywhere. There were no trees or grass or flowers or vegetation or anything anywhere. There were no birds or animals. He said, I felt so lonely. I was not conscious of my earthly surroundings. In other words, he's fully in the Spirit now. He don't hear people praying. He's not aware he's on the platform. He's not conscious of his earthly surroundings. He said, as I looked to the west, I saw what appeared to be a tiny dot on the horizon. It was the only moving thing I could see. As I watched, it grew larger and came toward me, taking on shape and form. Soon, I could see it was a horse. As it came closer, I could see a man upon the horse. He was riding toward me at full speed. You know what full speed is? Wide open. That horse was galloping towards him. In other words, he was coming, the horse, and we're going to find out there was a man on him here. He was coming with a mission. He had a purpose. Soon I could see it was horse. As it came closer, I could see a man upon the horse. He was riding toward me at full speed. He was a man with a mission. He had been sent from heaven to bring a revelation to Reverend Kenneth E. Hagin about America. He was riding towards me at full speed. As he approached, I could see he held the reins of the horse's bridle in his right hand, galloping. His left hand, high above his head, he held a scroll of paper. This rider's coming into him. He said, when the horseman reached me, he pulled on the reins, whoa, Nilly, and stopped. He said, I stood on his right. So he's standing over here. The horse rides up this way. He's standing over there. He said, he passed the scroll from his left hand here to the man's right hand and then handed it to me. The man handed it to Kenneth E. Hagin with his right hand. As I unrolled the scroll, which is a roll of paper 12 or 14 inches long, he said, take and read. At the top of the page in big, bold, black print, were the words war and destruction. He said, I was struck dumb. That means he couldn't speak. He laid this rider on the horse, laid his right hand on my head and said, read in the name of Jesus Christ. And that's the way he exclaims it in quotes. He said, I began to read what was written on the paper, and as the words instructed me, I looked and saw what I had just read about. Now what he said, the paper instructed him not only to read it, but look, and he would see what he was reading about on the paper. First, I read about thousands upon thousands of men in uniform. Then I looked and saw these men marching, wave after wave of soldiers marching as to war. I looked in the direction they were going, and as far as I could see, there were thousands of men marching. Notice thousands, as far as he could see. That's a long way. So he's up in, you know, up there looking. He said, I turned to read the scroll again and then looked and saw what I had just read about. I saw many women, old women with snowy white hair, middle-aged women, young women, and teenagers. Some of the younger ones held babies in their arms, and all the women were bowed together in sorrow and were weeping profusely. Those who did not carry babies held their hands on their stomachs as they bowed over and wept. Tears flowed from their eyes like water. I looked at the scroll again and again. I looked to see what I read about. I saw the skyline of a large city. Looking closer, I saw the skyscrapers were burned out holes. Portions of the city lay in ruins. It was not written that just one city would be destroyed, burned, and in ruins, but there would be many such cities destroyed. The next caption, America's Last Call. The scroll was written in the first person and seemed as if Jesus himself were speaking. I read, America is receiving her last call. Some nations already have received their last call and never will receive another. Then in larger print it said, the time of the end of all things is at hand. This statement was repeated 4 or 5 times. The time of the end of all things is at hand. Jesus also said, this was the last great revival. September the 2nd, 1950, he said, this is the last great revival. This is America's last call. Some nations have already received their last call and never will receive another. He went on to say, all the gifts of the Spirit will be in operation in the church in these last days, and the church will do greater things than even the early church did. It will have greater power, signs, and wonders than were recorded in the Acts of the Apostles. He said that we have seen and experienced many healings, but we will now behold amazing miracles that have not been seen before. Jesus continued, more miracles will be performed in the last days, which are just ahead. Just ahead. This is September 2nd, 1950. Do you think we're ahead a little bit now? For it is time for the gift of the working of miracles to be more in prominence. We now have entered into the era of the miraculous. Whether you know it or not, we're in the era of the miraculous right now. So it's okay to receive a miracle. Many, he said, Jesus said this, many of my own people will not accept the moving of my spirit and will turn back and will not be ready to meet me at my coming. Now that's a sobering thought. Not ready to meet him at his coming. Many will be deceived by false prophets and miracles of satanic origin, but follow the word of God, the Spirit of God in me, and you will not be deceived. I'm gathering my own together and am preparing them, for the time is short. There were several other exhortations to watchfulness, to awaken and pray, and not to be deceived. Then I read, as it was in the days of Noah, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. As I spoke to Noah and said, for yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. That's in Genesis 7:4. So today I am speaking and giving America her last warning and call to repentance. And the time that is left is comparable to the last 7 days of Noah's time. Well, if that was 1950 and we had comparable to 7 days, we're getting close. Next caption, judgment is coming. Warn this generation as Noah did his generation, for judgment is about to fall. And these sayings shall be fulfilled shortly, for I am coming soon. Jesus repeated, this is the last revival. I am preparing my people for my coming. Judgment is coming, but I will call my people away, even unto myself, before the worst shall come. Be thou faithful, watch and pray, for the time of the end of all things is at hand. Now it goes on to say, and I'll not read it, but I'll just tell you what he said. He believed that some of these things might have been and coincide with the race riots and everything we had in the 60s and 70s. If you were alive during that time, you would understand some of those things, you know. I was in the first grade, I think, in 1960. So, you know, I'm coming along when these things are happening and taking place. But One of the things that I do is we have to put this in a proper time frame. Since September the 2nd, 1950, there have not been thousands upon thousands of men marching as to war in this nation. You know what I mean? In this nation. Not on this land. Not on our soil. Now, there have not been many women, older women, young women, middle-aged women, bowed over profusely, weeping in our nation. Basically, we've been a blessed nation. Even though we've had ups and downs and we've had wars and skirmishes with other nations, we have been blessed. But the truth about the matter is, ladies and gentlemen, that we're coming down to the end of time where God has to do something. If God's word is true, and if these wonderful ministers here that have taught me and trained me correctly, and I believe they have, they told me we have about 2,000 years of the church age. At the end of that 2,000 years, then it's going to be over. Is that what you taught me, Pastor Tim? Yes. I know Pastor Craig, I know Reverend Michael did, and Reverend Joel did. You know, they taught me all these things. I believe they did, you know, about the time. And also, I think most of us ministers here believe, and we're not going to fight about it, but I believe that most ministers believe that there will be 6,000 years of human history. Isn't that right? And then the 7,000th year will be where Christ reigns on the earth. I wrote about that in my last newsletter, if you got it, and we told why we believe that the Lord will be here 1,000 years. He's not coming just to waste time. He's coming to redeem us. Because he told Adam, the day you eat the fruit, you're going to die. Isn't that right? The day you eat the fruit, you're going to die. The Lord told me one day, he said, I told Adam the day he ate that fruit, he would die. I said, yes, Lord, he died spiritually. He said, I'm not a man that I should lie, nor the son of man that I should repent. He said, when I told him he would die that day, I meant he would die spiritually and he would die physically. Well, I've always been known, you know, to try to challenge the Lord because I didn't have good sense. So I took him to Genesis chapter 5 and I showed him where Adam lived to be 930 years old. And so he didn't die that day. Remember that? He didn't die that day. Then the Lord asked me this question. He said, who is the oldest recorded human being to ever live on earth? Well, I found that in Genesis 5, too. It's Methuselah. He lived to be 969 years old. Isn't that right? He said, you've got that right. That is correct. He said, but one day with the Lord is 1,000 years. 1,000 years is one day. And no human being will ever live to be 1,000 years old on this earth until I come back and reign here to break that curse that was pronounced on Adam in the beginning. So he's not coming just to waste time. Now, there's other reasons he's coming. But we know he's coming for that reason. So we're coming down to time. If we have this right, we believe we do. There's 6,000 years of human history. And you just go back and just look at the calendar. And we know it's not exactly right. But we're getting down to this end of the 6,000 year period. And plus we're getting down to the end of the 2,000 years of what we believe is church, the church history. The church will reign on this earth before Jesus shall come. And also, remember, the time of this vision is important. Brother Hagin said he believes some of these things may have transpired in the race riots, but with me looking at it and examining the vision here, in light of the Word of God and with the Holy Ghost, again, since September 2nd, 1950, there hadn't been thousands and thousands of men marching as to war in this nation, is it? I mean, we've sent them to other nations and they marched over there, but they hadn't marched here. And there hadn't been women, lots of women, bowed together weeping profusely because, you know, their husbands, their boyfriends, everything's gone. You know, their family, sons, gone in a war. But notice this. He said, judgment is coming. He said, this is America's last call. Now, people don't like to preach these messages. I'm number one. Because we like for people to run, jump, and shout and tell everybody everything's going to be all right. And it is going to be all right if you're with the Lord. We understand that. But a lot of people don't want to talk about these things, but it's my job. And I have to argue with the Lord about it because I don't sign up for these classes. You wouldn't mean I don't. I want somebody else to do it. I want somebody else to say it. But that's part of my job to say these things. And if I don't say them, I'll get in trouble. I know. I was in the hospital not long ago. Because I hadn't been doing exactly what the Lord told me to do. I was putting things on the shelf and I was trying to get around them and skirt them. But the Lord said, you're going to pick this up and you're going to do it. I said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So he said in this vision and revelation that Dad Hagin had, the writer gave him the scroll. He said, this is America's last call. He said that twice. And he said, judgment is coming. He said that more than once. And he said, warn this generation. Isn't that right? Warn them. I'm warning this generation. Judgment is coming. Jesus meant what he said. I'm warning the United States of America that judgment is coming. So where's the United States of America at? I don't know. But all I got to do is declare it. Remember, I was over in England one time ministering. And the Lord sent me there supernaturally. Told me what to do and why to go there and how that nation had the door open to the devil. And told me to go over and tell them. Well, I went over there and told them. But there was about 300 people that showed up to the meeting, you know. And thank God for that. But I complained to the Lord. I said, Lord, you sent me over here to tell England to shut the door to the devil. And I said, England hadn't showed up. There's only 300 people here. He said, that's not your fault. He said, I sent you to them. Where they hear you're not. He said, you do what I tell you to do and just don't worry about it. So because the United States is not here tonight, I still got to say it. Judgment is coming. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Now, I'm not excited about judgment coming, but I'll tell you this. In this time that God moves, there's going to be the glory of God that's upon us even now like we've never seen or known. And that belongs to us. But God cannot continue to allow this nation to continually murder innocent babies. He cannot do it. He cannot. He will not. Because he's judged many other nations for much less. Much less. He cannot allow it. And this has been going on for years. Thousands and millions of babies. Life being destroyed. Their blood of those little babies are crying out to God even now. God is not going to be mocked. And there must be a change. It's only because of the saints in this land that we haven't already been judged. Because we've cried out for mercy. And some of these people that sit in these high places, God's going to knock them off their lofty thrones. I'm here to tell you, he's going to do it. And he'll take them down. These people that are coming against the church and the ministers of the gospel that are out preaching these things and mocking and making fun of them, they better watch it. These politicians in high places and people like that are passing these goofy laws. Do you know that Oklahoma now is a marijuana state? They call it medical marijuana. But going right to my hangar, there's Big Bud's medical dispensary. Anybody from there know what a bud is? Marijuana buds? Big Bud's. They call it medical dispensary. I was looking at a building one time I was thinking about buying. And I went by it the other day, not about 5 miles from the airport where I keep my aircraft. And I noticed somebody had bought it. And I just looked and they had put heating and air systems out at least on just one end of the building, $100,000 worth. And so I decided I'm going to drive in here and see this great site. It used to be an old VFW club and it was pretty large. It had a golf course and everything, 18-hole golf course. And they was going to sell the whole thing, you know. And, of course, the golf course was all run down and all that. But anyway, it was a big piece of property and this building. So I drove in there. The first thing they do was two guys standing out there, you know, looked official. I just looked more official than they did. And I just come on in there. I drove right by them, and they got the eagle eyes on me. And I wonder why they're eagle-eyeing me. And I drove beside the building, drove around behind, and I looked, and I saw about another $150,000 worth of air-conditioned units. You know, big compressors. Gas packs, if you know what them are, you know, all that kind of stuff out there. And then I heard, seen mini splits. Y'all know what them are? Let him that be ignorant still. But anyway, it's heating and air systems that can power a head, and you don't have the ductwork. It just hangs on the wall. I've got them in my office. And they just put a compressor outside, just run a little line to it, and that becomes your ductwork hanging on the wall. They call them mini splits. And they had those around that building too. And they probably had $40,000 worth of them because I bought some $8,000 a shot, you know. And so I decided, well, I better go and ask these folks, what are they doing? So I pulled up because these guys are watching me. I pulled up beside them and let my window down, you know. I said, hey. You always got to do that. You know? Hey. That gets their attention. Hey. I said, what in the world y'all building here? And he kind of muffled a growth facility. I said, do what? I said, what did you say? He said, a grow facility. I said, what does that mean? He said, we're going to grow marijuana in this building. I said, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
5 miles from the airport, I'm going to get in the spirit. My God, I'm telling you the truth about it. We're going for this. But a growth facility. I heard now through talking to the grapevine, there's only one main company that can grow it. It's got to be grown indoors. You can't grow it in your flower garden, Brother Jeff. Quit doing that. Quit growing it. You can put it in the flower garden, but you got to grow it indoors. And you have to have all this heat and air because they got to control the climate. And they're calling it medical marijuana. For $80, you can get all you want because all you got to do is go to this guy that's supposed to qualify you to be able to get it, and he'll give him the money and he'll sign the note. Brother Joel's going tomorrow. My God, if I'd known that. Oh, you ain't got no troubles. All you need is a medical dispensary. My God. But I thought, what's going on? Well, here we are, you know, right in Tulsa, in Owosso, where we moved from Broken Arrow to Owosso, which is north of the Tulsa Airport. We live about 10 minutes north of the Tulsa International Airport. But here we are in what you call the spiritual giant, supposedly, at one time. And these medical marijuana dispensaries, like Big Buds, Big B's, you know, the Cool Comfort, whatever, you know, it seems to be everywhere. And you didn't never see them. And buildings that were run down and they couldn't sell, they're just gobbling them up. And they're either putting building what they call a grow facility where they grow this stuff, or they're selling it right out of there. You got to have a little piece of paper to get it, but you can get it for about $80. You can get that piece of paper and go in and get you some. And I know some of you are saying, I'm going tomorrow. My God. So, Brother Ram, we got it in the backyard. We don't have to go to Oklahoma to get it. But what I'm saying is this. This is creeping across a nation. Now, alcohol has already been approved, you know, for many years. And it's very destructive. It's also a drug. I don't know if you know that. All it is a liquid drug that people drink. But it is a drug, alcohol. And it gets you high and makes you drunk. So all these things are coming along now. But right here in Tulsa, right here in Broken Arrow, it seems like it's just predominant. And these things, and you would wonder how many people are taking this stuff or on this stuff. And listen, I'm not saying that there may not be something that's some kind of plant to help somebody, you know, in a physical that's necessary to need it. But a lot of these people don't need anything. All they want's a high. You know what I mean? So I'm not against helping people with some kind of medical stuff that they need to help them in their physical body to get by for a while, you know. But things like this are happening in our nation. And so we have the murder of innocent babies. We have homosexuality being paraded down the streets, not quite as bad as Toronto. Forgive me, my brother. But when I was in Toronto, I believe it was the time before, remember they had the parade? And I saw it on the TV, on the news. It was on a Sunday because we was at church. And I had heard about it. And in Toronto itself, right downtown, there was over 1 million people in the gay, homosexual, lesbian parade, and some of them doing the most lewd acts in public, had children down there, and I'm not getting into all that, but had children down there too, marching with them. Over 1 million people. Now, you're shaking your head about Toronto. Do you know in Tulsa, what used to be a spirit-filled, Pentecostal, tongue-talking, Bible-believing, devil-cast-casting-out, divine-healing preacher led the Gay Day Parade down this road in Tulsa, Oklahoma? This is a preacher. Some of these folks right here know who he is. And I'm not putting him down in that sense. I don't agree with what he done. I'm not against the man, but I am against his methods because they're wrong. But this is a Pentecostal preacher. How far can you go? Ladies and gentlemen, God, Reverend Billy Graham said this before he went. If God does not judge America, he'll have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. And I believe that we all agree that Reverend Graham was a godly man. Now, Jesus said he's going to take us away before the worst shall come.
Say, Brother Randy, is it doom and gloom and have mercy on me? Oh, God, what's going to happen to me? I'm telling you, God's going to take care of us. But we need to get after the harvest like we never have before. And I know these churches here, and this church here is after the harvest. Precious fruit of the earth, the souls of the earth. I know it. They're after it. People are after the harvest. Because when judgment comes, there'll be a day that people won't be able to enter in. I'm telling you, it'll come that day. People will be so hardened and turned away. But you cannot murder innocent babies continually. God sees all these things. God is not mocked. He will not be mocked. But just think of how many millions of babies. And then you know what was passed here in New York. And I know you didn't have nothing to do with it. But you know what was passed here. I mean, even the heathens can't believe it. Even heathens can't believe that it was passed. That you could actually take a baby's life after it was born. You know what I mean? Do you think that God is going to allow that to happen? Continually, 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 continually? Is He going to allow same-sex marriage and homosexuality and lesbianism to be paraded in our streets and not judge it? Yes, He's going to judge it. And I know this is not a popular message, but it's a necessary message. It's a message I try to avoid, but still it must be said that judgment is coming. Now, something that happened in 1963 that was kind of hidden in the archives because they didn't want it to get out. It's when Dan Hagin said some things. He was actually preaching a message, and during that message, he was caught up in the Spirit in 1963, and he saw the United States of America. If you'd permit me, I'll read that to you. It's short. I've never read it before. A friend of mine got this to me. It has insight to some of these things. And of course, they were in fear and trembling themselves. And of course, we don't say these things to try to bring fear on anybody. You understand that. But some things that I say tonight is sobering, but I pray that you do not get in fear. In fact, I rebuke fear in the name of Jesus. Because I'm not going to be afraid. I'm going to occupy till He comes. I'm going to live by faith, walk by faith, talk by faith, preach by faith. God supplies all of my needs. If syrup costs $5 a sop, I'm going to have all the sops I want. I'll tell you that right now. Is it maple syrup that you've made? Yeah. He said some maple syrup. If maple syrup costs $100 a sop, I'm going to have all the sops I want. Isn't that right? Huh? He's going to make more. I know he told me about making some, you know. Put it in this bucket and the process it does. Most of us instantaneous folks, we give up on it right away. We want it right now. So where do you want me to go now? I got to go here somewhere. Here I got to go. Got to hit this other button. All right, this vision was given to Kenneth E. Hagin in 1963 while preaching a message called Looking at Things Unseen, 1963. I've had this, but I hadn't said a word about it or anything about it. A friend of mine, like I said, got it to me that has some of this stuff, you know. And I have some, a lot of you have it, but I didn't have this. And I asked him, I said, why didn't I have this? He said, well, he said they didn't want it to get out. You know what I mean? Because it could be misunderstood, it could be misinterpreted, but this is exactly what it said. So here we'll have it recorded tonight. Isn't that right? But he was preaching a message in 1963 called Looking at Things Unseen. And then all of a sudden he's in the Spirit. He's caught up in the Spirit. And this is a direct quote of what he said, and it's written down. Yea, the hand of the Lord was upon me. The Spirit of God moved upon me. The voice of God spoke unto me and said, come up hither, son of man. I went, as it were, up into the air and stood with him, the head of the church, even the Lord Jesus Christ, in the air. And as I looked down on the ground, I could see as a map laid out before me the entire nation, all the states of the continental United States. And as I looked, he said, Jesus said to him, "Behold, son, and I shall show you that which shall come to pass, and that which the eyes of many shall see. And they shall remember that their ears heard that it shall come to pass. For there came a dark hand up out of the ocean from the east, even from the Atlantic Ocean. It came up out of the sea as a hand, and it rose up into the air. It became a dark cloud, and it filled the whole atmosphere. Yea, and it swept in like a storm at sea. And I said, O Lord, O Lord, O Lord, what's the meaning of this? And he spoke unto me and said, Son, that is the darkness of atheistic communism that is sweeping across this nation, even in the minds of men in high places and politicians with great power. And this nation shall not grow more strong, and you shall not have more liberty than you have now. But liberties that you've known and you've seen shall be seized and taken from you. And I looked again, and I could see upon the mountain a blotch, as though a bottle of ink had been spilled and spread out over several states in the south and east. Then I looked, and I could see spots splotched all over the map, and I said, Lord, what meaneth this? And he said, communistic-inspired hatred among races shall cause greater turmoil than your nation has seen heretofore. Yea, it is not the will of God, but man's hearts are perverse, and they walk without the love of God and seek to have their own way. And so it shall be worse than you have seen. And I said, O Lord, is there a remedy? What shall the answer be? And he said, evil men and seducers shall work worse and worse, deceived and being deceived. Then I said, O Lord, do we have nothing to look forward to in the future except the darkness, the blackness, war and destruction? And he said, Son of man, forget not your text, for you look not at the things not seen. The title of his message remembers looking at the things unseen. And as I looked into the spirit realm, and I saw falling upon that mountain a ball of fire from heaven. The closer to the earth, the bigger it got. And then when it came to the earth, it divided into small balls or sparks of fire, and it fell upon men. And I saw an army of men rise up, and it seemed as though their hands were fire, and there set upon their heads a tongue of fire. And when I first saw it, it seemed their whole heads were on fire, but it was tongues of fire leaping. And I said, what meaneth this? And he said, and this is what we look forward to, and I believe these days are upon us. Before the worst shall come, and the day of darkness encompasses, there will be those who shall go and who shall carry the fullness of my truth and the fire, not only to the states of this nation, but to many other places. For there is a work that must be done, first spiritually, before the Lord shall come. Now prepare ye your hearts, for the time is at the hand, and the beginning is now, and ye shall see and ye shall know, for the hand of the Lord is upon you, and many of you shall be used in these last days, and the work shall progress. Hallelujah to Jesus, and hallelujah to Jesus. So he talked about things that were going to come, things that were going to take place, but guess what's going to happen? Before all those things happen, the glory of God is being poured out in a supernatural way, and you and I have a part in it. So it's not a doom and gloom message. I'm talking about future in some of these things, and we're not putting it today or tomorrow, next month, next year. Only the Lord knows, but I do know this. Before those things can come, before those things can take place, we must walk in the glory and power of God, and there is no devil that can stop it. There's no war, there's no army that can stop it. So some of these things I read about in the vision that Dad Hagin had with the horse and rider, they're beyond that. I know that because he said his spirit would be poured out. And even though many would not receive it, we will. So it's not a time of doom and gloom. It's not a time to go dig a hole underneath the cellar. I know you got the cellar, but underneath the cellar and go get in it. I'm not telling that. It's not time to go get your food box and go to the cave. I'm not saying that. It's a time of God's glory. It's a time of God's anointing. It's a time of God's power like we've never seen or known. Ladies and gentlemen, we are moving into that glory. We are moving into that power. It's just like right now, I can see it right before me. I can see it. That's how close we are. We're right here. But these things go together. I'm here to tell you, they go together in the Spirit. They go together because quickly on the heels of this glory is going to come this judgment. But we're going to be out of here before the worst shall come. That's what the Bible says. But there's a work that must be done. And you and I have a part in this work. You and I have a place in this work. And we're going to press into it. And we're not going to quit. And we're not going to give up until we have the fullness of God's glory and the fullness of God's power in this hour. So I know I got you down, but I picked you back up. And Erie last night, I put him in prison. But I let him out. I gave him all parole. Remember that? Erie, Pennsylvania. I spoke over there. And I put them all in prison. They got sad. But I got the key and let them out. So I talked about the things that will come. Why? We got to preach about these things. People that are called to it. I'm not saying everybody has to do it. But people that are called to it. And if you've got the mantle on you and the anointing on you, you've got to talk about what God's going to do, because God can do nothing in the earth unless somebody declares it. God's going to do what he says. And there's other scriptures, but we're not going any further with this tonight. There's other scriptures along these lines, and there's some things I believe that we can do to cause these things to come to pass much quicker than what they've been. And even though there is a faction of people out there that believes that this is all we're ever going to have, we know that's not true. So we're going to press in to everything that God has for us, and we're going on through. In the name of Jesus. Now, this is what I saw myself doing today. Can we just obey the Holy Ghost? All the preachers in here, stand to your feet. All the preachers, stand to your feet and come down to the front. And I'm going to lay hands on you, if you would allow me to. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. The rest of the audience, you stand. Now, it doesn't mean that God doesn't want to minister to you, but we got an extended meeting. We'll get time to do that. But I saw this, that God is going to establish some things in the Spirit tonight and help some folks. And the first one I saw in the Spirit was Reverend Joel. I didn't know why, but I know that there's fixing to be a change in your life in ministry. A change. Now, there's a change that's coming because you're about to make a turn. You've been right on the verge of it. You've been right on the edge of it, and you've known it all along. You've hungered for it. You've desired it, and even God has given you heavenly songs. But there's an anointing that shall come upon you that will be a break forth anointing, because you've been used in a measure in these things to bring a word in the time, to bring soberness and bring correction to my church. But not only will you be used to bring soberness and correction, you'll be used to bring my glory. So tonight, know this, says the Lord, that you've made a turn. And now when you go in this direction, you will see that my anointing and my power will come upon you, and you will walk in a brand new way in this hour. Father, we thank you for the Holy Ghost and the power of God. This is a different day that requires different ways as you follow the Holy Ghost and move with him day by day. Don't lose the hunger. Do not lose the desire, because he's the one that will fill you with that heavenly fire. As you press into his glory and press into his anointing, you will be able to have a heavenly story that you'll be able to tell and you'll be able to declare. Because God's got a plan. God's got a plan. And it's not the plan of man. As you begin to walk in a plan, yes, even a way that you had never walked before, you said, Lord, are you sure this is the door? Lord, are you sure this is the way for me to take this step? Lord, and see you undertake, and see you lead, guide, and direct. Well, you've seen the hand of the Lord. You've seen the glory of the Lord, but there's more in store. More, more, more in store. In the name of the Lord Jesus. For his glory and his anointing has come upon you in a measure. And with an intensity, you have pressed into these things. And you said, Lord, I hunger. Lord, I desire. Lord, I want to see it take place in this hour. Because you have been faithful. You will see that the anointing shall increase upon thee, and revelation knowledge will come from my word, and you'll see things so clear, and you'll be able to explain it in such an easy way, people will say, I never saw it that way. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in a measure, you have stepped into a place that I called you 2 years ago. In that place that you walked in, you said, Lord, is this the way? Is this the way? I'll go. Because you accepted that way, because you moved in that way, you said, I'm going forth brand new in this way. So even though you've been used in a measure, there will be a breakthrough in this area. And where there's been one here, one there, some there, a few here, and a few there, you'll see there'll be 10 here, 5 here, 20 here, as I will bring it to pass in this hour. So be faithful to complete the assignment that's given unto you, for you're not yet through. Ha, ha, ha. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's his glory and anointing that's come upon you. And you made the decision that I'm going to do what the Lord said do. And as you obeyed him and walked in his way, you decided that I'm going to see him move in a supernatural way. As you seek his face and take your place, you will see that you'll move into a place in the Spirit that you've never been before. A place where revelation knowledge will flow and the gifts of the Holy Ghost. In that area, you will move and you will go. So it's not a small thing, but it's a large thing that will happen in your life. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, faithfulness and commitment. Faithfulness and commitment and dedication. That's what the Lord has seen about your lives. Faithful, committed, and dedicated. And because of that, you will see that you'll move into a supernatural place of the anointing that's equipping thee. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, saying, Lord, yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'll do what you say. Lord, I'll do what you say. I'll obey. And because you've had that obedient heart, because you've had those silent times with me, I'm going to bring you into a place of great victory. And you'll find out that those times were not wasted. You'll find out that all the effort put forth is not wasted. For payday shall come. Because it's been long in coming, even though it's been a measure, there's a greater measure from this very day. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, walking in this way, walking in this way, walking in this way, that's the way that we're going to walk. The way of the Holy Ghost, the way of God. And I have anointed you to speak and preach and teach my word on a level that has been a blessing to many. But you will see that the anointing shall increase, and not only have the gifts operated in a measure, you will see a greater measure of my glory and my anointing in this hour. And the teaching and speaking ability will be stronger than it's ever been before. And as you stand to minister in my glory and power, sometimes it will seem like you're actually raised up off the floor. Because it'll be my anointing that'll be upon you to bring you through. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, equipped, anointed, and appointed. Equipped, anointed, and appointed. See, it's one thing to be appointed. It's another thing to be equipped. It's another thing to be anointed. But with the equipping, with the appointing, and the anointing, you'll be able to see the barriers fall. Because see ahead of you, there are some large walls. And things that seem like that they're hard to move. But my grace shall come upon you. And you'll be able to speak to those things. And they shall move, even as you've seen in time past in a measure. A greater measure shall come. a greater flow shall come. And when your words are spoken by the Holy Ghost from your mouth and the decree is given, you will see almost instantly things begin to take place and take change immediately. It will not be a long, drawn-out process anymore, because it seems like it's been long in coming, but now's the time. And the increase has come because it's my plan divine. In the name of the Lord Jesus, Father, we thank you for the Holy Ghost and the anointing of God. One foot in front of the other. One foot in front of the other. That's what you keep doing. Just putting one foot in front of the other. Saying, Lord, I'm just trusting you. Lord, I'm just believing you. And Lord, a lot of times I don't know what to do. Lord, I don't know which direction to turn. But know this. Tonight you're going to begin to learn a new way of the Spirit. A new way of the Holy Ghost. A new way of His anointing that's going to lead you and guide you. And where there's been laborious times and times of labor, you're going to find out that you're going to have a time of ease, a time of peace, and a time of liberty in the Spirit like you have not known in a while. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, we trust you. We believe you for the anointing, and we release that anointing because we know it's the anointing that breaks the yoke in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Understanding God's plan, accepting God's plan, and then saying, Lord, I need to do it, but I can only do it by the power of your hand. That's the right heart. That's the right attitude. And because you have the right heart, because you have the right attitude, you will see that my glory and power, oh my God, the glory and power shall come. And the pressure shall be released off of you in the name of Jesus, and the glory and the anointing shall come upon you in a greater way. Father, we thank you right now because we trust you for the anointing. We trust you, Lord, because we know the anointing breaks every yoke of bondage in the name of Jesus. Lord, we'll no longer be held back, but we're right on track. So don't give up and don't grow slack, because He will lead you and guide you in a supernatural way. And from this very day, it will be different for you because you'll walk in a new way in the Spirit. Let's raise your hands and thank the Lord. Father, we thank you. Father, we praise you. Lord, we worship you. Lord, we glorify you, and we thank you for the Holy Ghost and the power of God. Lord, I invoke and I speak a very special blessing over every individual under the sound of my voice. Lord, and I thank you for impartations of the anointing of God to come upon them. And I thank you for the increase of the anointing and the hunger that's come upon them this night to see your glory in a greater way from this very day. And Father, we give you the glory and honor for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to turn the service to our pastor.
Aren't you glad you came here tonight? Yeah, I'll tell you what an honor it is to be here. You know, what a sobering time, but also an uplifting time. And praise God, we're going to get ready to receive a love offering tonight for Randall Greer Ministries. Praise the Lord, it's been so awesome. Reverend Greer, hearing you say things that, you know, you haven't said before, at least I haven't heard before. And it's just an honor. Aren't you glad you didn't stay home? Aren't you glad that you came to the house of the Lord? Amen. And I'll tell you what, I don't know about you, but I'm coming away from this meeting tonight wanting to be more serious, right? You know, wanting to be more faithful, wanting to be more consecrated. I always feel that way, you know, coming out of Reverend Greer's meetings. And listen, I'm sure we're you know, doing things, we're serving God, but we can always go to a higher level. Amen. And I love being around ministers that call you up higher, and that's what we've been around here tonight. Amen. And so there's envelopes there in the seat pockets in front of you. We're going to take up a wonderful offering tonight for Reverend Greer's ministry. Everything that's being given tonight is strictly for that ministry. We just call all the needs of RGM fully met. Amen. Every debt paid, abounding in the blessing of God.
Folks, of course, remember we have tomorrow night at 7, also Tuesday night at 7. And Tuesday night, we're going to make it our double up offering night, all right? And so we just expect that you can make it here. I know there's a lot of things that people have in their schedules. Listen, go out of your way to be in church, amen? I see so many people, they'll rearrange their schedules for doctor's appointments, they'll rearrange their schedules for dentist appointments, they'll rearrange their work, or they'll do whatever it takes. How much more for the house of God? Amen. Praise the Lord. So we're going to give tonight. And then after we're dismissed here in a few moments, again, if you have children in the ministries, go get them first and then head on out to that product table. You might as well just turn your home, your car, into a Bible school with Reverend Greer's materials. It'll bless you. Amen. Let's get ready to pray as we bring a wonderful offering here tonight. Father God, we just love you. Father, we praise you. Father, we're just called higher. Father, we understand the seriousness of the times that we live in. Father, we understand how important it is for us to stand in a faithful place. Father, to pray for our nation. Father, to serve you with our whole hearts. And Father, we just say that we've come up to a new level here tonight, and we thank you for what we've received. And now, Father, your word tells us that if we've been taught the word of God, that we communicate in all good things to those that teach us. And Lord Jesus, we are going to treat Reverend Greer as if you were in our pulpit here tonight. Lord, we thank you that you're in our midst when we gather in your name. And Father, we love you, we honor you, we praise you, Father God. And we are just going to go higher and higher for you. And Father, we thank you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Brothers, you may serve the people. Well, I don't know about you, but I know where I'm going to be tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Praise the Lord. You know, these meetings will change your life. Again, we appreciate those that we see several folks from Fredonia and different parts, you know, of the county and the other areas here that you drove. You made a point to be here. God's going to reward you for that. Amen. He's going to reward you for that and for taking your time. You sow into the house of God. You take care of his house. He's going to take care of your house. Amen. Let's go ahead. Let's stand to our feet. And before we dismiss, let's give the Lord all the praise and all the glory for everything said and done here tonight. Father, we glorify you. We magnify you. Father, you are holy and you are good and you're worthy of all praise and glory. Father, we just say this. We give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name.